You're listening to episode 209 of Women Worldwide. Can you imagine a workplace full of happiness where every employee can succeed by first being happy? I've got a guest today who teaches you happiness can be the antidote to workplace negativity. So stay tuned to learn more. Hi, I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. I've spent an entire career helping women to share stories, nurture relationships, grow their brands, but most of all, to find their voices so they can make a difference. Do you feel stuck? Do you want to power up your own voice? Women Worldwide features the stories of passionate women who have navigated big career challenges and some of the toughest changes. These professionals offer deep insights and advice to inspire you and to help you uncover what's holding you back. Let Women Worldwide ignite your passion so you can excel in life. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Women Worldwide. Our network continues to grow thanks to all of you. You're sharing and amplifying the stories of our amazing guests. And when you do this, you're helping them to create impact and to truly make a difference. At the same time, we're also hearing that their tips and advice and insights are helping you and you're learning from it. And that's our goal. So let's get to today's show. We're going to dive right in. It's all about happiness. That's right. A show about happiness. Life should be happy. Work should be happy. And taking an approach, we're really going to focus on happiness in the workplace environment, finding an antidote to workplace negativity and even bullying. This is real. This is happening in the workplace. I've got the perfect guest to share her insights and experience on this topic. Joining me on the show is Kyla Mitsunaga, who's an entrepreneur, an author, a speaker, and a workshop trainer. Kyla's been developing a happiness workshop. She's going to talk about this, and she's sharing her approach in 14 countries across 3 different continents. Kyla empowers corporations, organizations, institutions, and individuals to succeed by first being happy. So, without any further ado, Kyla, it's great to have you on my show. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Deirdre, and Women Worldwide. It's really awesome to be here and be with all of you.
Well, it is awesome to have you because even just thinking about happiness, happiness in the workplace puts a big smile on my face. But I always kick it off because we are very interested in your journey. So when I was doing my homework, I noticed that earlier in your career, you were a professor, right? And then you somewhere along the line, and I do believe reading that you were award-winning as a professor, and you transitioned to an entrepreneur, author, speaker, and all the things that I said, and that you're developing these workshops. What's behind this big pivot?
Yeah, I mean, it actually was not a quote unquote big pivot per se. It was a gradual pivot, I would say. So I was a professor for 6 years. And in 2014, I had the opportunity to speak in Austria. I was invited by a former student of mine. And I thought, you know, I'm always telling students and now clients, hey, you can do it. You can do whatever you put your mind to. And there I was, like, totally afraid to apply for this conference in Austria to speak where I've never spoken before outside of Korea at a global business cross-cultural conference. And so I thought, you know, I really have to be that change that I talk about and live that. So that was what began the journey. And at the conference in Austria, I was asked to speak in Mexico.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And the dean of that particular university asked me to speak on empowering university students to give back to their communities. So I was like, wow, I'm really aligned with that topic. And how should I go about doing it and researching it? I could either A, go in and give like a really boring PowerPoint presentation on these are the reasons why you should volunteer, ABC.
Snooze fest.
Yeah, ironic. I mean, and I don't ever even do PowerPoints really. So my other thought was to research the heck out of it and see what comes up. And what kept popping up was happiness.
Oh, that's nice. And
yeah, isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
So I based the happiness workshop on a simple premise of if we can make other people happy, then we can become happier. And that's how the happiness workshop was born. And that night I was featured on the local evening news. And then I decided, hey, maybe there's something to this workshop. So I decided, like, why not take it around the world to as many countries as I could? So I did. And then I was still teaching in Korea, and I thought, wait a second. Koreans are one of the more depressed OECD countries.
Right.
Why not bring the happiness workshop to my university? So I created a freshman seminar course around the idea of the happiness workshop. And we started at 40 students and we ended up with 150 the second semester. And it's just been an incredible journey so far.
What was the reaction, the immediate reaction of your students to the happiness workshop? And did this group have the most positive reaction? Or maybe there was another group that had, generationally speaking?
Yeah. You know, I get that question a lot, you know, like, how did Koreans take you?
Yeah.
Because they tend to be more shy. Yeah, I'd have to say, you know, I'm really fortunate. I've gotten to work with really amazing students who are really open to the craziness that is my teaching and that are my workshops and that are my classes. And I think, you know, initially they're surprised. I talk about this in my book. One of my students was like, you know, they have to do a happiness video project where they have to bank as many people around campus as happy as possible. And then they video record what they're doing.
Sounds like so much fun.
I think so.
Great class. Everybody should have a happiness class.
Yeah, I agree. I was talking to him about that. He's an education major and his name is Ye Il. And he was saying, you know, Kyla, your class is so creative and the happiness project, the video project is so creative. You know, most classes, they sacrifice, you know, being creative for being efficient. But your classes do both.
So yeah, you're building a model right there.
Yeah. I mean, so I think that there's an assumption that if you're having fun, if you're being creative, if you're doing hands-on activities in a workshop style, you can't learn at the same time. And I'm here to break that mold.
Being a professor on the university level, I agree with you. You should have full-on creativity and fun and still be efficient and have a lot of learning and experience. That's
absolutely
awesome. But what about,
thank you.
You're welcome. What about challenges with these workshops or even in the classroom? Do you face any challenges that people might share with you? Is it hard for people to step out of their comfort zone? I know this sounds crazy, but step out of their comfort zone to be happy.
Oh, absolutely. And this partially is cultural. You know, when I do the workshops in Asia, the participants tend to be a little bit more introverted and hesitate to share, but it comes out in a different way, right? So it may not come out in a group setting, but it'll come out after the workshops where they'll come up to me after and they'll line up and they'll talk to me one-on-one and they'll talk about, you know, what they've survived, you know, an accident, sexual assault, death in the family. And then in Europe, I mean, Finland, people in Finland tend to be a little bit more reserved as well. But in Western Europe, you know, I recently did this in Belgium, and we do, you know, we do this activity where we're dancing, and, you know, in Asia, you know, I'm like, yeah, you know, I have to be the one to like get people pumped up.
Sure.
You know, then, but in Belgium, you know, I had to be like, okay, settle down. Let's get back, you know,
That's so interesting.
So, you know, it really just depends, but, you know, I get this question a lot, right? What do you find across cultures and across countries about happiness? And really the challenges are the same. Everybody wants to be happy. Everybody, has internal roadblocks, whatever they may be. Everybody struggles with mindset, and everybody, you know, wants that cheat sheet, right? Like, Kyla, just tell us how you're happy all the time. I'm like, well, actually I'm not. And it takes a lot of work.
So happiness does take work, just like anything else, because if you're talking about a mindset, right. Mm-hmm. Then changing the mindset, keeping the mindset, you know, maintaining it, that is work.
Right. Absolutely.
So, you know, I think let's make a little pivot. I have a feeling that your book must have to do with happiness and mm-hmm. the way that we're interacting, or maybe relationships. Could you tell us a little bit about your book, With versus At, Two Prepositions That Changed My Life? Maybe what are some of the key takeaways that you would like listeners to know about your book?
Sure. So the book was inspired by a TED Talk I gave in 2012. And it was the same title, With versus At. When I was applying to speak at TED, I had 6 minutes, and I thought, oh my gosh, 6 minutes, what am I going to talk about?
Right.
Holy cow, first of all. And then second of all, I thought, you know, what is the thing that's the most important thing to me, and what I wanted to share with the world, and what I thought was just too important to hold in. And what came to me was the way that I teach, and the way that I interact, and the way that I communicate. And I don't lecture at style one way. I wouldn't even call them lectures. My classes and workshops are all very two way. They're interactive with style. And the more I looked into this, the more I found research to back this up. You know, university students who are lectured at actually perform worse than their counterparts who are lectured in a with style.
And so all those big classrooms, you know, when you see on movies, mm-hmm. the professor's at the front of like a theater, like right. auditorium,
right?
And he or she is just lecturing, or their mm-hmm. teaching assistant is lecturing for them. And there are the students all taking notes. That's at, as
yes,
opposed
correct.
To with. And there's still a lot of that.
Yes. And when I started speaking globally, that's what I noticed. So I first thought, oh, it's just happening in Korea. Oh, it's just happening in Asia. Oh, it's just happening in the US. Oh, it's just happening in Europe. Oh, it's just
happening across the world.
And with devices, this is a slight tangent from the book, but with devices more so than ever that are so prevalent, we're finding that people are just not paying attention. You know, they're just sitting in the back, they're on their laptop, or they're on their phone, they're chatting, or they're doing work, or they're on their BlackBerry, whatever, but they're not paying attention. And so, you know, it's really interesting to me, because to me, I think, why are you here? You could be just at home in your pajamas watching this on YouTube, or like watching a YouTube video. And if really your goal and your purpose to be here is to learn and engage and be the best version of yourself, then, you know, hiding behind a device is not the way forward.
I mean, I just remember in school, so mm-hmm. taking you back many, many years, where some of my peers wouldn't even go to a class. They might show up the first day and they would show up on the last day, and somehow they would pass every test in between because mm-hmm. there was no with. It right. was all at. And certainly that's not going to help you if you're right? If your goal is to learn and engage,
right.
it doesn't work that way.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. That's exactly what's happening. So yeah, so I just decided to write a book, you know, and it's, you ask, what are some of the big takeaways? Well, it's hard for me to be objective about my book because it's very deeply personal. It's part memoir, it's part self-help, it's part, you know, there's like self-work activities in the book, but it's basically my journey, getting to with, not just with myself, but with other people in my life, friends, family, and then I look at like work. I look at career. I look at love. And I just, you know, how some people, they have a certain kind of lens when they see things. Like some people see things black and white. Some people see things more rosy colored. For me, I see everything in with versus at lenses. And so I decided to write a book about it. And a good friend of mine who's a coach recently started reading it. And she's like, Kyla, I've never read a book quite like this before. And I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, well, just the way that you've written it in such a with style. You know, there's like QR codes. So you can watch videos with me. You know, as I mentioned, there's self-work activities that you can do along with the reading.
Involved. Like you're almost working with you in the same room. You're in a classroom, but you're not, but you feel connected. That's what it sounds
right.
like.
Right, exactly. And a lot of the self-work activities I've done with my students, and I found them to be very, very useful and very, very practical. And I also just, so that's like on a micro level, right? So you're working on your with lifestyle with me on a macro level, speaking globally. I always looked around to find a mentor, somebody who looked like me, and I could never find anybody except for white dudes.
Yeah.
And
they didn't look like you.
No, they didn't look like me. They weren't the same like age.
Right. No, not happening.
They were older usually. And not to say that they weren't nice, but.
Oh, sure. Or smart or
they were funny. Smart or capable.
Exactly.
I just wanted to create change in the narrative. You know, we're fortunate that we're at a time of hashtag Me Too, where women are starting to find out and figure out and voice their own voices and change the narrative of the status quo. I wanted to create change around that. I wanted other younger Asian women to look at my book and look at the cover and be like, oh my God, there's an Asian woman on that cover. There's a minority woman.
And you look happy.
Right, exactly.
Right.
In the nonfiction space. So on a macro level, I really wanted to create change on that level as well.
Yeah, I mean, you became the role model. Right, which is
accidentally
so wonderful. So, you know, even though you said it wasn't a big pivot, it was a gradual, everything that you've done, it's such a meaningful pivot. All the different ways you're affecting students and professionals. It's really refreshing. I feel like, you know, I'm sure you've probably learned a lot about yourself through this journey. So maybe you could just share, you know, looking back, what do you think you've learned as you've transitioned over the years?
Oh, gosh. so much. But
I know I ask these really big questions. Oh, and you only have 5 seconds to answer. Quick.
No, they're really great. All the questions have been really, really awesome. I think one of the major things, and this came out in a retreat I was recently at in the Bay Area in January. So, you know how you do certain things and you gravitate towards certain people, maybe you're particularly empathetic, or you intuitively know that this is the quote unquote right path for you, but you don't necessarily know why. So recently this retreat, I had this huge epiphany, which was, I've spent 40 years of my life with blurry vision. That is to say, you know, when you go into the optometrist's office and you don't have your contact lenses in, or you don't have your glasses on, and they're like, and then they start putting the lenses in and they're like, better, worse, better, better. So during this 3-day retreat, I felt like I had got the lenses so that I could see perfectly. And what I mean by that is, I feel like I spent 40 years of my life trying to figure it out, why I do certain things, why I feel particularly strong about certain things, why was it so necessary for me to write my book, why am I on this journey, why is it that I do certain things that I do and gravitate towards certain people the way that I do? Why am I empathetic? And the reason behind all of that is, it boils down to width, which I didn't know at the time.
Right.
Of the writing of width. But I just knew that hindsight's always 20/20 along the vision theme. But I just knew that I was along the right path. And what I mean by width is that this idea of oneness. So I used to look at, for example, a homeless person and say, oh my gosh, I could be that homeless person. And I don't mean this in like a pitiful kind of way. I just mean it in a completely empathetic kind of way. So what I realized is that on the road to oneness, right, I am you and you are me. And I am that homeless person. That homeless person is me. So what I mean by all of this is, the more you understand yourself, the more with yourself you are, the more you can be truly with other people. And by with, it's another way of understanding and acknowledging that oneness. Does that make sense?
Oh gosh, that makes so much sense.
So
I learned a lot. I say that is a very big lesson and a valuable lesson for all of us to hear and to think about and apply to ourselves. And Kyla, I'm just going to ask you to hold your thoughts for a moment.
Sure.
We're going to take a super quick break, give some love to our sponsor. And when we get back, Kyla's going to share more about happiness and all of the great work that she's doing.
Creating brand loyalty requires a unique blend of strategic communications and innovative technology. Yesterday's techniques won't work. Today, you have an opportunity to expand your communications approach with fresh, creative, and effective ways to power up your brand voice through new channels and to interact with more value and meaning. Pure Performance Communications will work with you to move audiences from awareness to action and impact. You'll foster greater engagement and forge stronger relationships along the way. Let us help you uncover what's holding you back and help you to carve out a marketing and PR roadmap to success. Visit us at pureperformancecom.com. That's pureperformancecom with two M's.com. Now back to Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge.
Welcome back to the show. Kyla Mitsunaga and I were just discussing happiness. We were talking about what she had learned through her journey, which really in hindsight is with, which is what she practices now. And that's also her book. Kyla, you know, it's very interesting that you said in hindsight, with was building within you and you sort of were asking a lot of questions. And if you look at yourself now, you also said that happiness takes work. So how do you stay motivated, focused, and happy all of the time?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that's a question that I get asked a lot. So if we can rewind just a little bit about the definition of happiness, just to make sure that we're all on the same page with that, that's okay?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, great. So something that I learned recently, and you know,
we're always
I think, you know, this is evolving, it's becoming, right? Like Michelle Obama's new book, you know, whatever your definition of happiness is, mine just happens to be to do with, of course, because that's my lens. But, the way it came about was, so my husband always brings home these books about business in the hopes that, that I'll read them. But I actually don't. Hopefully he doesn't listen to the podcast, or maybe he will and he'll laugh. But anyways, so one of the books that he brought home was called Total Alignment. And it had to do with work and having total alignment at work. And I flipped through it because it was on our dining room table, and I had this epiphany, which was all along I've been doing these happiness workshops, and I loosely had a definition of happiness, but not a very specific one. And I always wondered and wanted to connect with, you know, like the concept of with happiness, but I didn't know how. And it was through this book that I came to understand what happiness was to me, which was total alignment with yourself. So with yourself, with your core values, with your purpose, whatever that is, right?
Which is hard.
Yeah, totally.
This is not just one day waking up and saying, oh yeah, I'm in total alignment, because there's a lot of history and baggage and past that's right. Happened that you have to come to terms with.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So with that definition of, you know, total alignment with yourself and with your core values and that with definition, how do you stay motivated and focused in your career? You know, it's really interesting. I was talking to someone earlier this morning about this, and, you know, they were also asking, you know, what was the thing that you learned recently, and what are you learning, and what are you learning about, and how do you keep yourself growing and learning? And I think all of these things, all these pieces are related, right? So my work is very close to my person. I am my work, and my work is me, right? Just as much as this idea of oneness of I am you and you are me, but I am also my work. And so having said that, the more I can understand myself and have this personal growth, the more I can then share with others and help others as much as possible to be more with themselves and with others. And that's the key to happiness, right? So I'm motivated because I've been there I've been in the downward spiral of depression. And it is what it is. I think we tend to label things, but if we're talking about strategy, you know, something that I've realized and I learned also at the retreat recently is a lot of the challenging emotions we face, you know, negative emotions or tough emotions. Let's say for me, it's guilt. I have a lot of guilt around my mom. My mom was diagnosed with early onset dementia. I fell into a deep depression, which was amazing because then it took me on this path, right, of writing this book and becoming a life coach and all these other amazing things. But these emotions and the things that are seemingly obstacles or challenges or what have you are ego-driven. So ego doesn't like change. Ego likes to stay and label things. I'm depressed. I am feeling guilty. I am whatever it is. And ego likes to judge as well. So one thing that I have found to be helpful for me is to have a talk with my ego, which is hard. And I'm like, I'm feeling my body physically tense up as I talk about this because it's so hard.
Yeah, I'm feeling a lot of emotions just as you're speaking. And I want to thank you for sharing what you did about your own emotions. I think it's so important that, you know, you can speak to that and be aligned. Obviously, you are, but to share that. Thank and I'm you. Wondering if part of the sharing is part of the healing, which is a part of the alignment. Do you feel that they go together?
Absolutely. So, Deirdre, it's interesting that you bring that up because I started noticing in my workshops that the more I understood myself and the more with I was with myself, the deeper participants were able to go with themselves and with others. And, you know, people started
action, Carla, right? To have, it's like a domino effect.
Yeah.
In a positive way.
Yeah, absolutely. And my gauge on this is how many people cry.
Mm-hmm.
And not, you know, I talk about this in my book, right? Like make people cry, but I don't mean in the like negative, you know, like call, you know, like blame, shame kind of way. I mean in the way that they're going to remember.
Right. That it touches them in the moment and an emotional response. Right. And crying doesn't always have to be negative.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm a big crier. Just going to put that out there. I'm a big crier of everything and anything. So I really honor that in others and with others. And it's humbling and empowering as well to be able to do that and hold space for people and with people.
I can, I mean, for myself, what you just said about crying, I think the more I'm in tune with myself and the more I am present with myself and others, I've cried more in the last, I don't know, let's say 5 months than I've ever cried before, which means something, which is good, which means I'm feeling, which means I'm healing and I'm in tune with what's going on out there. But Kyla, I'm going to ask a really hard question.
Yes. Let's do it.
You know, you said in your workshops, you are feeling very aligned. You're in tune. You're able to almost, people are picking up on this because there's an energy going on here and we're all connected. So people are then becoming more in tune with themselves. You're seeing emotion, but society doesn't make it easy to go out there to have your emotion, to be present and aligned. How do you know, stepping out of one of your workshops, how can somebody maintain this for themselves if they're not quite they haven't done all their work yet. How do they remind themselves not to let society get to them?
Yeah, that's a great question. First of all, buy the book.
Okay, buy the book, everybody. Women Worldwide listeners, you need to buy this book.
I say that half jokingly and half serious, in the sense that, you know, I really wanted a practical way to share the strategies and the work that I've done. So there's, you know, the self-work activities in the book. I love that question about sustainability, because that's something that I think about all the time. When people leave my workshops, how can they sustain this with themselves and with others? Something that I do, which is super helpful and let's say maybe seems really simple, but I journal a lot.
Yeah, that's great.
So, whatever's going on with you, and, you know, we all of us are up against and at, you know, we have at balls thrown at us all the time, especially as women. I think that women are held to impossible standards of beauty, of, you know, being working mothers, of being wives, of being daughters, of being grandmother. I mean, you name it. Women are held to these impossible standards. And the stress of that, I mean, it can't, I feel it. I feel it with the groups of women that I work with. And the challenges are very, very universal. So one activity that we do is you work on writing down in your journal all the at things that you say at yourself. And it's really interesting, Deirdre, because, you know, I've done this workshop with, you know, different women from different countries, and all the at things that they say to themselves are the same. I mean, it's
yeah. So it's kind of going across cultures, the at.
Yeah. Like, you know, they're very, how do I say? I feel like I have the same conversations over and over. You know, the things like, you know, the self-criticism, the perfectionism. This one for me is my one is I'm not good enough. So whatever the at things that you say to yourself are, you know, write them down. And then for every at thing that you say to yourself, draw an arrow and have a with thing that you say to yourself. Like, you are good enough, Kyla. And make sure it's in the third person.
Right.
Because that's really helpful. It takes you, you know, from subjectivity to objectivity, the observer. You know, you're watching your movie on, you know, a projection, you know, so you're not in the eye of the storm, per se.
Right. You're taking yourself out, and as the observer, mm-hmm. you can be more objective.
Yeah. Yeah. I often tell myself, Kyla, you're a fucking badass.
Yeah. That's a great whip.
It's hard. And Deirdre, it's hard for me to even say this to you and to the listeners, but it's hard for me to say that.
I'm so glad you said it.
Because for 40 years
but
of my life.
It, right? To
yeah.
mean it and believe it. You know, it's one thing to say it, but to have mm-hmm. it start sinking in. And Kyla, I think you're a fucking badass.
And I apologize if you have to like edit that later.
No, but we won't.
Okay.
Okay. I think our listeners can handle it. Well, you have just really given a great way of this sustainability once you kind of come out, you're feeling aligned and you're feeling the happiness, right? This, that whole exercise with focusing on the at and kind of going over to the with. I can't even believe it that I'm going to be asking you to sort of give some parting advice because our time just flew. But if you could give our listeners parting advice that would help them to step out of their comfort zones, to understand that, you know, ego doesn't like change, and how they can really pursue their ambitions and be happy, what would you say to them?
That's a great question. I would say, you know, just start with you. You know how Simon Sinek is like, start with why.
Yes, yes.
Someone at the retreat that I went to, you know, I was telling her about my book, and she's like, "Oh my gosh, you're like the power of with." You know, like, you know how Simon Sinek is the power of why? You're like the power of with. Like, that's pretty cool. Didn't think about it that way. So I would just start with, if that makes sense. And the power of with. And once you take some time to really, truly be with yourself, the sky's really the limit.
That's great advice. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deirdre. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Last question, which is super easy. Where can people find out more about you, your book, and your happiness workshops?
Yeah, you can just go on my website. It's just kylamitsunaga.com.
That is simple. And from there, they can also find you on social media as well?
Yeah.
That's great. Kyla, thank you.
Easy.
Thank you very much for sharing your journey and how we can apply happiness and be with ourselves so we can be with others and to really get rid of that at. We appreciate your time and all the ways that you're helping out there, whether it's corporations, institutions, and individuals. So thank you.
Thank you, Deirdre. Thank you, women worldwide listeners. And yeah, it's been amazing being with you.
Let's keep this conversation going, definitely. And listeners, it has been amazing to be with you today. Thank you so much for tuning in, amplifying the stories. Keep your feedback coming. We greatly appreciate it. You're sharing on Twitter and Facebook, and rate us on iTunes. We love to hear from you. So, okay, friends, until our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.